The other night we completed the Through the Four Sons. Of course, it's to include daughters as well. And then there are some daughters also, our Tom, Lane, Daly, and Dale Lishel. Yaakov Erev Chodesh. Okay, so till this point, I think most of us at least understand what the Haggadah is saying and where things come in. We explained a little bit where the story with the five rabbis sitting in Bnei Brak, how that flowed, and then how Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that story flowed into the point of what the Baal HaGadol wanted to describe with the Zechira, and then Kineged Arbaot Banim. Where does Yochel Merosh Chodesh come in? Yochel, you might think, Merosh Chodesh. What's Rosh Chodesh? You might think, wondering, why would I think Rosh Chodesh? We're now the Leil Seder, we're now Pesach night, we're saying Yochel Merosh Chodesh. So we have to know also is the order of what the author of the Haggadah, how he describes things and writes things in the Haggadah, is based on this famous pasuk, this verse, V'higadata levincha, v'yom ahu leimar, v'avur zeh, as Hashem li b'teitim mitzrayim. A very fundamental pasuk. Those are actually the answers to two of the sons. The Rasha got that answer, and the Shein of the Elishol got that answer. But he got the Levitical, you should relate over the son. This is the mitzvah, this is the Rambam tells us, this is we know the mitzvah of telling over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim to one's children. That's the obligation. But he got the Levitical, you have to relate over, tell over your children by Yavo on that day. Lamar saying, Babur Zehas Hashem Li B'tzeizim Mitzrayim. So this is how it's to be understood. That's really the order. And everything fits into that. V'higadata, that's the first word in the pasuk. V'higadata, you should say over to your children, where does that come in? That comes into Magid. Same word, Magid, which is this whole long story, this whole long retelling of the Haggadah, of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's V'higadata, Magid. Levincha, what's Levincha? Say over to your sons. Where did the sons come in? The four sons. Okay, so V'higadata, Levincha. That's Magid and the four sons. And Bayom Ahu on that day. And why does the pasuk have to tell me on that day? Say it over, because what might I think? So here's this is what we're going to. Yochel, I might think that this relating over, this retelling of the story of the Exodus has to be maybe start from earlier on. Okay, maybe we don't start Pesach cleaning that night. We started a month before. So maybe you should start retelling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim on Rosh Chodesh, or from Rosh Chodesh. Yochel, I might think, may Rosh Chodesh. Why Rosh Chodesh? To hear that Itzib points out and others that we have two psukim at least that tell us that this is a very special month. The month of Nisan is very special. As we know, the Gemara tells us this, like we were redeemed in Nisan and from Mitzrayim, so too we will be redeemed in the ultimate redemption also in this month of Nisan. So it is a very special month. And the when the Torah describes the Exodus, particularly going out of Mitzrayim, it says, Shamar, you should watch the Chodesh Ha'avim. This special month, the month in the spring, the month of Nisan. Well, then the Torah tells us again, Hayom Atem Yotzim, or Kibachodesh Ha'avim, Yotzosim Eretz Mitzrayim. And it points out, and as the Torah points out, it's this month. It's not only this day. It wasn't only we went out on the second day of Pesach, on the day of Pesach, or the seventh day of Pesach was the splitting of the sea. But it's the entire month, which is a very special month. So you might think, since this is the month that it tells us, since this is the month where it's very special that Yetzias Mitzrayim should take place, so maybe we should even restart telling and trying to ingrain in our own systems, our own minds and hearts, the whole idea of this faith in Hashem, and Hashem was the Redeemer then, and will be the Redeemer in the ultimate redemption. Perhaps we should start from Rosh Chodesh. That's the Yochel Merosh Chodesh. Now, to continue along in this pasuk, V'higadata Levincha, that's Magid. Levincha is the four sons. Bayom Ahu tells us, no, it's not Rosh Chodesh, no, it's not Rosh Chodesh, rather Bayom Ahu on that day. On that day is when? The night of Pesach. Lamar saying, and Lamar is really basically to say over, to tell over the whole story back from the beginning, and that's the next passage, which is Mitchila Odeh Avodah Zarah, saying we start that way back from the first of our, the progenitor of the Jewish people, which is Avraham Avinu. Ba'avur Zeh, we move a long way into the Haggadah. Ba'avur Zeh is the Matzah and the Marah, which we point to when we get to Matzah and Marah, Pesach Matzah and Marah. Ba'avur Zeh, because of this, it's because of this, on account of this, That what? That us Hashem leave, that Hashem did to me. Where does that come in? Where does me come in? So also, way later, we get to also a very famous passage in the Haggadah, the B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Adam Lirises Atzmo Kilo Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim. In every generation, we're obligated to feel that we ourselves left Mitzrayim. And what does that mean? We'll have to see when we get there. Okay? And that was Shenema Be'igadah Livno Vayom Bahu. It was not only our forefathers who got out of Mitzrayim, even though physically they were the ones who left, but we ourselves, like we said in the beginning of Avodah Vayinu, we would be obliged to thank Paro for letting us out. So we ourselves were taken out of Mitzrayim only from Hashem and Hashem alone. And finally, the end of that pasuk, Be'igadah Livno Vayom Bahu Leimar, saying over the story, Ba'avur Zeh, because of this matzah umar, Osa Hashem Li, Hashem did it to me, and as I am to view myself, I left Mitzrayim. B'tzeisi Mitzrayim, that goes to Halal. Finally, we end the Seder with Halal and Yirtzah, and as everything relating over everything and feeling that we went out of Mitzrayim brings us to praise of Hashem. Brings us to Halal. And that's B'tzeisi Mitzrayim, like we say in Halal, B'tzeisi Shom and Mitzrayim, B'tzeisi Yaakov Me'amo. So that's the whole pasuk. So that's what Yom Kippur Rosh Chodesh. You might think it's Rosh Chodesh, is really the opportune time to start saying over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Talmud Lomar comes along the pasuk and says no. We insert these two words in the pasuk. Hashem says no. Bayom Ahu on that day. We continue if Bayom Ahu. If just the mere fact that it says Bayom Ahu, I would say Mokum Lebodyam. I would think something started in midday. I have to wait till at night while everyone's getting tired and all the kids are already cranky. Why should I start? But let me start at the 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk continues, Ba'avur Zeh, because of this that we're saying over the whole story, it's because of this mitzvah of matzah and maror that we are here sitting at the Seder table. Ba'avur Zeh lo amarti, we only say this b'shoshi yesh matzah maror maror l'fnecha. It's only when, it's only really appropriate to say over the story, retell the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim when there's matzah and maror on the table. Not when we have black and white from Strauss or Leaf. That's not what we said with the story. Now we're just preparing for what we should be thinking at the time of the Seder. But it's only when the table is set with the finest dishes, the finest china, the finest silver, because we feel a sense of cheiros, of him, sense of freedom from what we got out of Mitzrayim, that's the opportune time. When the matzah and maror sitting there, that's when we tell over the story. There's something missing over here. B'shashiyesh matzah umar. Pesach is missing. What happened to the Pesach? And when Rabbi Gamliel later on, when they say these three things, it might say that this is always it's a custom in out in my family that when we get to Rabbi Gamliel, used to say, whoever doesn't say these three things of Pesach, Matzah, and Mar, give the reasons Pesach, Matzah, and Mar, has not fulfilled the requirement of retelling over the exit. That this part of the Seder, we have a minute to wake up my mother to say this part of the thing. You know, but basically, if the Manishtana, she snoozes away, she's been working for a week or two straight, you know, sleepless night, so she takes her well-deserved nap. And we wake up at that time because we have to save that passage. So we're missing Pesach. What happened to Pesach here? Only Matzah and Mar? Ba'avur says really because of this, because of all the three mitzvahs. Pesach, Matzah, and Mar, which certainly they had the Korban Pesach then when they left Mitzrayim, and they had the Korban Pesach when they went out of Mitzrayim. Afterwards, certainly they had in the Beis HaMikdash, the 400 years of the Beis HaMikdash that it stood, and the next Beis HaMikdash that it stood 400 years, certainly they had the Korban Pesach as well. So here the Meshach Chochma tells us that really it's even more appropriate to say over and sit around a Pesach Seder when we're in Golus and we don't have the Korban Pesach. It's when we don't have the Korban Pesach and all we're left with is matzah and maror, that's even more appropriate, that's sort of better for us, and we'll see why, to say over the whole story of the Exodus. Because our saying over the story of the Exodus is not only retelling what happened, but it's what's taking place now and what's going to happen in the future, like we explained last time. It's the Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, Asher Otzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am God. How do you know me? Because I'm the one that took you out of Mitzrayim. And how are you going to know me in the future? Because I'm going to be the one that's going to bring you home to Eretz Yisrael with the final redemption with Mashiach. It's going to be me. Remember me as a Redeemer. You saw me then, you're going to see me again. So it's particularly here when we only have Matzah and Maror. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have this revelation of Hashem on a daily basis like they had at the Beis HaMikdash where we saw Hashem clearly. We're in Golus, we're in exile, and Hashem is hidden from us. And here, if we could sit around the Seder, tells us the Meshach Chochma, if we could still sit around the Seder and still relate over to the next generation. They should know this is what happened to our forefathers in Egypt, and they got out, and Hashem is one that did everything, and Hashem brought the 10 plagues, and Hashem split the sea, and Hashem is going to redeem us ultimately as well. If we could still believe it through the millennia, if we could still believe in Hashem, that it will be the biggest source, that will be the biggest merit for us. So it's because of this that we only have Matzah and Marv. And we're bereft of the current Pesach right now, that'll give us in good stead for Hashem to then bring the Gula. And he gives a nice mashal. His mashal is a person who has one daughter, wealthy man, and he marries off finally his one daughter. And after she's out of the house, the wife says to the husband one day, "No, you did a good shidduch, right? He's such a wonderful husband, and he's so lovely, and he's good to our daughter." So the husband says, "Yeah, I mean, already it's been a few years, but listen, I'm still holding him out, you know. We're still supporting him until he finishes his degree, until he finishes learning in Kollel, so we're still holding him out. So of course he's good to our daughter, right? I mean, what choice does he have? Let's see when I stop and the support stops and when they're on their own, then we'll see how good he is." Now Hashem says, "Listen, of course, when I am the Beis Hamikdash, when I provide you with everything, when I provide you with miracles on a daily basis, when my presence can be felt and known, so of course everybody's good. Of course the Jews praise Hashem and daven to Hashem and do Hashem's mitzvahs. But when I'm hidden, when they're self-supportive, when they're on their own, then Hashem says, then we'll see if they're still good to me, if they're still... they still have faith in me. They still have faith in me after through all these 2,000 years of Gola," then Hashem says, "then I know they're my real children, then I will bring them the ultimate Gula." Okay. Now we come to the next segment of the Haggadah Mitzchila. We mentioned last time there's really machlokus in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. Where do we start the Haggadah from? Because the Gemara tells us, really, the Mishnah says we have to start with something shameful, and from there build it up to get to where we would finally, Zokul, we merited the Gula from Mitzrayim. But where did we start from? Where is the skeleton in the closet? Where was the bad, shameful past, or shameful start of Bnei Yisrael? So I have nothing to be embarrassed about. Anyone who has past history, no matter what we're in good company. Okay? Who's in good company? So we think, well, Terah, because he is one of our grandfathers, Terah, and he was an idol worshiper, right? What did he have? He had a store. What did he sell in his store? He sold idols. And as I think it's Rabbi Alofsky's joke, after a good day of business, what would he say? He said, "Thank God, because he has made them." So that's really what he did for a living, you know? And imagine little Abe, okay, little Avrami, probably Abe, that he called him, and he grew up in this store. I mean, this is the store he grew up in. Imagine, you know, if Terah was he had a chain store, Blockbusters, and yeah, Avraham Avinu, he grew up in this store, you know, taking orders, helping out. This is where Avraham Avinu grew up, and indeed, Avraham Avinu was an idol worshiper. Sorry to break any myths, any misunderstandings or hopefulness that Avraham was, you know, good from birth. He wasn't. He was an idol worshiper. How do we know this? So let's read.
Baal Tshuva.
He was the first Baal Tshuva. That's right. Mitzchila, in the beginning, Ode Avodah Zarah, idol worshippers, Hayu Avoseinu, our fathers. Who's our fathers? Our fathers include Avram. And I'll prove it to you. Now that's the shamefulness. Va'akshava now, here comes really the good part, right away. Va'akshava now, Kervonu Amon Lavodas, Hashem has brought us close to His service, and as Hashem has brought us to understand the truth and realize who Hashem was. Shenem, as it says, and this is a pasuk Yehoshua after they entered into Eretz Yisrael already, and they settled down in Eretz Yisrael, because after the 14 years of conquering and settling and giving up, dividing up the lands, finally Yehoshua told them a big speech, and he says, "Vayom Yehoshua kolam." He gathered the nation together, and he said, "Listen, Komar Hashem, this Hashem said to the Yisrael, the God of Israel, the Eva Hanar, back on the other side of the river, Yashua Boseichem, Beolam, our forefathers once dwelt. Terah, Abi Avram, Abi Nachor, Vayavdu Elohim Acherim." Who's they? If you're only talking about Terah, who seems like the subject of this pasuk, if we're only talking about him, it's Vayavod Elohim Acherim. He served idols. But rather it's Terach, Abi Avraham Avinachar, and it's Avosechem that the Vayavdu Alim Machir. They served idols. In other words, Avram was also an idol worshiper. And this we know because the Rambam tells us as well. But this is really a proof. Briskarov says from here, for this pasuk in Yeshua, we see as a proof to the Rambam that indeed Avram himself worshipped idols. Along with Nachar, along with Haran, along with the Terach. That's all they knew. They didn't know any better. That's how they were brought up. How did Avram finally get out of it? So we know, the Rambam tells us that, according to his opinion, Ben Gimel Shana Hikar Avram is voted. 3 years old already. Obviously, we know 3 years old those days was not the three-year-olds we know today. Even my kids, which are very precocious, still not at three. They're not recognizing Hashem at 3 years old. Okay, they do a lot of other things which I'd be surprised about, but not recognizing it. But we know Rivka was 3 years old when she got married. So 3 years old was certainly... But at 3 years old, Avram Avinu recognized Hashem, the Rambam tells us. Some say no, it was not until 40 years old. So you would understand that there was either 3 or 40. So the first 40 years maybe Avram was an idol worshiper. Or like someone is saying, it was really not such a drastic machlokus, but rather the disagreement is what part or what understanding of Avram Avinu's lifetime are we explaining over here. So certainly at 3 years old, he realized there is a creator here. It can't be all this beautiful world can be just came into existence with a big bang. And therefore he recognized Hashem. And then at 40, he came to the depth of that realization and a greater understanding of Hashem. But what brought him to that understanding? Whether it was 3 or the 3-year-old understanding, what brought him to that understanding? So, the Gemara tells us, he looked and he says, it can't be, everything here was just created, it just evolved, it can't be, it must be this creator. And the Pasuk says that's not really the case. The Pasuk says as follows. We continue along. They worshipped idols, they served other gods. Vo'ekach asavichem, who's talking? This is Yeshua talking in the name of God. Hashem is saying, Vo'ekach asavichem, and I took your father, as Avram, me'evranar. I took him. And the commentators explain, he says, I then channeled his heart, I moved his heart to just to the right place, where now he has the opportunity to recognize me. Before that, he had there was no way in the world that Avram Avinu would have recognized Hashem. With Hashem's chesed, as the Matsudas David says over here, just with Hashem's chesed, Hashem had kindness and Avram said, I'm going to give him a chance now. And he moved his heart, and I took Avram Avinu, and I put his heart in the right position that it could fall in the understanding of that I am the creator. And of course, at that point, Hashem, like Hashem, gives everybody the chance. Hashem channels everybody's heart, okay, now I give you a chance. Are you going to listen to this speech? Are you going to listen to this rabbi? Are you going to change because of this miracle that you saw in your life? After that, the person has free choice. And Avram had free choice. And of course, he cashed in over here when Hashem finally gave him that chance to realize who Hashem was. And he said, well, I'm grinding with idols. I'm bowing down and thinking these are the gods of the world, these stones and these trees that I'm serving. This doesn't make sense. But who did that? Only Hashem. Hashem was the one who channeled his heart to make him see the truth. Hashem doesn't force the person to see the truth. But Hashem gives him the opportunity. And once he afforded him the opportunity, then on his own free will, he did so. And the same thing goes with Yitzchak, and the same thing goes with Yaakov, and the same thing goes with Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, and all of us around. Yeah.
So, but in those days, there were other people that you also put their heart in the right place, but Avraham was the only one that saw it, or...
For Avram, it was an original understanding. There were people before that. It was Shem Weber as well. That they had their own yeshiva, and they certainly believed in Hashem before that. But for Avram, growing up in the house that he grew, he needed his own knowledge and getting out of that distorted misunderstanding that he was growing up.
So he received it without prophecy, like.
Yeah, it was a prophecy. It was only till Lech Lecha. That was the first time it was recorded in the Torah that Hashem spoke to him. When he jumped into the furnace, that wasn't because Hashem said, Avram, jump into the furnace. It wasn't like that. That was on his own accord. That's like, and incidentally, that's why we don't even consider that one of the 10 tests. What do you mean he jumped into the furnace? We don't consider that one test. Why? Because it came to that on his own accord. He decided, after he realized who Hashem was, he says that this is... There's no other choice. Of course I have to die for the sake of Hashem. That, in a sense, is not even a test. A test is when Hashem says, here, this is what I'm writing in the Torah. Don't speak Lashon Hara. That's a test if I have to listen. Why? Because that's not me deciding. If I decide I want to jump over a cliff, so that's my decision. It's not Hashem telling me to do it. That's not a test. The test is when Hashem says, here, don't eat this, and I don't eat it. That's
the heart of doing is an obligation.
Right. Okay, so that's Metchila. Metchila is certainly a shameful start, but very quickly change after that. But now Hashem has brought us closer. And that's why you ask everybody around the Pesach Seder, everyone around the table, you can ask, why are we Jewish? What made us Jewish? So we're fortunate enough to be Jewish. We could have been born Christians. We could have been born Gentiles. Didn't have to be, my Hashem didn't have to be a Jew, but I was fortunate to be a Jew. And for those who are frum, why be fortunate to be frum? Why be fortunate to have a good understanding, to have a good education, that I know Hashem is? It's only because of the chesed of Hashem. And we have to appreciate that. And that's what this passage over here tells us. It was only Bo'ekach HaTzavichem, and I took your father, Zavron, Bo'elakosa, Bo'elakosa, Bo'elakos Mitzrayim, Bo'elakos Canaan, rather, Bo'arba Ezar, and I made his children multiply, Bo'elakos, and I gave him Yitzchak, and I gave Yitzchak, and I gave Yitzchak Yaakov and Esav, and I gave Esav Harseir to get him out of the picture, give him his reward in this world, and not make him running through the hardships, and therefore he doesn't deserve any reward. And the Yaakov Avon of the argument's dying. The Yaakov Avon, since I had something much better in the future destined for them, therefore I made them go down to Mitzrayim. So we go down to Mitzrayim, we have the hardships. No pain, no gain. So we go down to Mitzrayim, Esav gets Harsei here, a freebie, and Yaakov Avon will go down to Mitzrayim. Okay, the next passage. Really the next two, because they're connected as well. Baruch Shoma Abtakos of Yisrael Baruch Hu. You can't spend the whole night just on this little passage, although it would be possible. It certainly would be possible just to take this little segment of the Haggadah, Baruch Shoma Abtakos of Yisrael Baruch Hu, and spend 4 hours just on this little segment. Okay? And then we'll spend about maybe 5 minutes or so on it. But just to get what to think about when we're sitting by the Seder, we say this passage, and most of it is just a pasuk, but trying to bring out to appreciate the richness of this pasuk. Baruch Shomar the pasuk of Israel, Baruch Hu. What are we doing? We say, bless God for keeping. Okay, what's an English translation there? What? No, but for what? What are the promises? Keeping the promises?
Keeping his promise.
Keeping his promise. Okay. So I would take issue again with that translation. We won't say on the tape what Haggadah you're using. And it's not the Hebrew term for keeping a promise or fulfilling a promise is not shomer. What is it? What's the Hebrew word for fulfillment of a promise? From the word kiyum, lekayem, to keep a promise. So that would be baruch mekayem haftakos of Yisrael. Blessed is the one who keeps his promise. Who guards his promise.
That's
yeah, shomer. Yeah. Shomer is like a guard, like a meshomer, right? There are guards, shomer, chinam, meshomer. So the people who watch things. Okay, so baruch shomer is the watchman, someone who watches. Hashem who watches the promise to Israel. Okay, so why use the word watch instead of the word keep? We don't mean kept this promise. Not only that, once you're talking about them, he kept his promise. That would be baruch shomer haftachos to Israel. Okay, I know it's late at night, the linguistics, but it's not Baruch Shomer HaTachos, one who keeps his promise or guards his promise, but one who kept, who guarded his promise. There should be Baruch Shomer HaTachos of Yisrael. So number one, he should have said he kept his promise, not guard his promise. Number two, he should have been in the past tense, not the present tense. Okay, what's interesting about this little passage here in the Haggadah is it doesn't say much, but mostly just quotes a pasuk. Shagodim Bogu Chishaves Hakeitz, Shagodim calculated the end of the Golus, the end of the exile, La'asos Kimosha Amal Avram Avinu, to do as he had said to Avram Avinu, B'Bris Ben Avsarim, in that famous covenant that he made with Avram. And Shinem, as it says, and here we quote the pasuk where Hashem spoke to Avram Avinu, how many years before they went out of Mitzrayim? Approximately 400 years before the end of Mitzrayim. Okay, because we know we start the count, we calculate it from the time Yitzchak was born. Even though it says 400 years in the pasuk, Vayomer Avram, he told Avram, your day, you should know, ki ger yetz aracha, that your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs, Beretz Lo Lahem. And that's how we know that it could start not only in Mitzrayim, because it doesn't say there'll be strangers in Mitzrayim, it says there'll be strangers in the land that is not theirs. So it could start beforehand. It could be, the 400 years could start previous to Mitzrayim. There'll be strangers in the land that's not theirs. Va'avodim, and they'll be enslaved. Ve'ino osam, and they'll be oppressed. Avamei Hashanah for 400 years. Okay, so 400 years, this will take place. Okay, that's three things right there. There'll be strangers, they will be slaves, and they will be oppressed. And the truth is, how many years were they oppressed? How many, the affliction in Mitzrayim was how many years? So we think 210. I think that's the number that most people think. Yeah, it wasn't 400 years, it was 210 years. But the truth is, 210 years was how long they were in Mitzrayim as slaves. But not all of those years was terrible affliction. Okay, the affliction started, the real pressure started, where things turned from really bad to worse, were the last 86 years of Mitzrayim. How do we know this? The Maral tells us, what was the name of Moshe Rabbeinu's sister? He only had one sister, Miriam. The word Miriam comes from the word Mar, bitter. Because when she was born, we know she was 6 years older than Moshe, 3 years older than Aaron. From when she was born, that's when things really started getting bitter. That murrah that we eat was because of the last 86 years. I mean, 86 years is a long time. But looking at 400 years, it was just the last 86 years, and that's why they named him Miriam, because it was Mara. It started getting bitter at that point. So the Inu Osam, the oppression really started the last 86 years. And the 210 minus 86 was the enslavement in Mitzrayim. But the 400 years of being a ger, being a stranger in the land that's not yours, started at the birth of Yitzchak. Okay, how could that be? How could it start at the birth of Yitzchak? Okay, we know that Rashi starts the birth. How could that be? Because what Avram was told is they have to have 400 years of being in exile. Now Hashem says, you have to feel that it's exile. If you feel it's exile, then you could live peacefully in America and not feel that we're in terrible exile. But if you feel we're not home, if you feel we are not at the end, we are not redeemed yet. America is not Mashiach Zion. If you feel that, then you're in Golos. Yitzchok Avinu always uses the terminology in the pasuk is always Vayogar, Vayogar, Gar. He sojourned in the land. In other words, he always felt as a stranger, as a ger in the land. So no matter where he was in Canaan, he was in Bayav Melech and Geror, he always felt as a stranger. She tells us through Yaakov Kamenetsky that as soon as you feel you're a stranger, then you're fulfilling the Golos. Yitzchok felt he was only a stranger in the land that wasn't his. So Hashem said, well, I can start it right now. I can start the 400 years. The clock could tick from now. It's only when did the real slavery start? When Yitzchok died, and then Yaakov died, and then the Shvatim died. When the last of the Shvatim died, we're told at the beginning of Sefer Shemos, when the last of the Shvatim died, then the next generation didn't feel we're in Golos. Mitzrayim, it's a great place. It's a great place. Doesn't have to rain. There's the Nile River. The people are nice. They're starting to give us jobs. What's the problem? This is Golos? No, it's not a problem. We're not a Golos. When the last of the Shvatim died, okay, when the old generation passed away, that's when the Gevus, the feeling of strangeness in the land, that's when it stopped. Hashem says, okay, we're finished with that segment. We now have to move to Alphas, to slavery. Because that's the only way they're going to feel they're a Golos. And when that passes, now that was almost 150 some odd years. After that finishes, and they still don't feel it, then the oppression has to start. And this is really the famous words of the Meshech Chokhba in Parashat Kukosai, where he says, the history of Klal Yisrael is like a roller coaster. Why is it when we go into enter a new land? And we are associated and assimilated with the people in that land, whether it be in Spain or in Rome or in Germany. He says, why is it like, as soon as we get to the pinnacle of goodness in our lives, all of a sudden a big storm comes, and like the roller coaster, everything goes downhill from there. And that's the idea. When we get too content in a place, Hashem says, you're not feeling you're in Golos anymore. Like his words were, when they said Berlin is Yerushalayim, then they're not feeling they're in Golos. And when we're not feeling we're in Golos, when we think America is the last stop, and this is our final destination, then we're not feeling the Golos anymore. As long as we keep feeling we're only a stopover, when you go on a flight, David, you know this, right? When you go on a flight to, and you have a stopover, Right? You don't unpack all your bags and settle in as if, okay, this is home. No. You have to take out the necessary things you need just for the stopover in the hotel room, but you still have your suitcases right close by, and you know there's a suitcase still packed. So as long as we feel, and we're not like on the level of the most righteous of the people in like the Chofetz Chaim, or those in our generation have this little suitcase packed when Mashiach comes, right, with a clean shirt, just to greet Mashiach, we're not holding it yet. Okay, we'll be lucky if we remember where we keep the suitcases from the last trip. Okay, but as long as we still feel that there's a suitcase, because we're ready, when the time will come, when that shofar will blow, we're ready to go home, then we feel we're in goals. So those are the three stages. Ger, Yetzirah, Avodim, V'inu Osa. Did all that happen? It all happened. We were Ger's, Avodim, V'inu, it all happened. Did the next two part of the prophecies happen? The two more things. And also this nation that will enslave you, that will oppress you, I will judge. What was that? Where did Hashem judge the Mitzrayim? Where did He punish them? Well, even earlier than that, with the Makos, the 10 plagues, and then again in the Yom Suf, where 50 plagues, 200 plagues, 240 plagues, 250 plagues happened to them at the Yom Suf. So done on Aiki, I judge them, I punish them, that was done on Aiki. I will also punish this nation. And then finally, V'Avri Ken Yesub Rukush Godol, and after that you will go out with great wealth. And did that happen? That never happened. So this was a prophecy told ahead of time, 400 years before any of this took place, was a prophecy told by Hashem Tavram. And it all happened. And if that happened then, like we keep saying, that Hashem is not only through the eyes of our learning about Yetzias Mitzrayim. We learn not only that Hashem redeem us then, but Hashem will redeem us in the future. Because Rashi tells us on this pasuk, and also this nation I will punish. What's also this nation? That word is a little bit extra, Rashi tells us. And also this nation I will punish. And the nation that enslaved you I will punish. And also this nation. So begam, we always were told in the Talmud that the word begam is always to add things. It's an addition to trying to add other things here. And Rashi tells us to add it for the four exiles. That Hashem will be there and redeem us from all four exiles. And we saw it happen in the first three exiles, we saw it happen in Mitzrayim, and the next two, and this final Golus Edom, this final exile that we're in for 2,000 years, it will end also with Hashem redeeming us, and the miracles that would occur will recur at the final redemption. And like Rav Schwab always says, the final redemption like something that's in the future, because we always say it's the ultimate redemption, the Gula HaSida, the one in the future. He says the future doesn't have to be in 100 years from now, the future could be tomorrow. And just like they get out of Mitzrayim when no one was ready for it, there's no time to note to rise, it says so too the final redemption, because there'll be no time, there'll be no time even to pack those suitcases. Okay, we'll have very little time before we are whisked off on the wings of eagles, or maybe it'll be JetBlue, maybe it'll be Alal, whoever it will be, to Eretz Yisrael. And the miracles that occurred in Mitzrayim will be hardly talked about in contrast to the miracles we'll be talked about at the final redemption. And how do we know that? So just one last point on this little passage here. And also the nation that subjugated you and made you slaves, done anoche, I will judge. How many words are that? Two words. Done, Anoka, I will judge. So Rabbi Yonah and Amos brings from Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon says, could you imagine if from two words Hashem told Abraham the prophecy, two words, I will judge this nation. What did He do with those two words? He brought 10 plagues. We saw 10 miracles in those plagues. He brought the splitting of the sea. He drowned them. He brought them through the desert, into Eretz Yisrael. But just done, Anoka, I will judge them. From two words, look what came out of that. So he says, if you look at the prophets now, if you look at Yecheskel and Yeshaya, he says, how many pages are written of what will happen in the final redemption? He says, not just two words, but pages upon pages are written about what will take place in the final redemption. So 10 makos over a 9-month period, and then more nisim at the splitting of the sea happened then, just in those two words, just multiply that so many times over by the many pages that are written of what will take place in the final redemption, may it come very soon. So all of this happened. And if we know all of this happened, then we are secure that Baruch Shomer Haftachoso, not the one who was Mekayim, he once upon a time kept his promise, but he's someone who keeps his promise. But not only he keeps his promise, but he guards his promise. So the Baruch Shomer, the present tense, is meant to tell us that it's still happening today. And the idea guarded is to be meant as follows. If I promise one of my children, and I say, if you are good for the entire day, at the end of the day, you get a treat. So, I give a promise, and they have to keep the promise. It's conditional, but they're on their own. So if the child is good, does not misbehave, and keeps in check the entire day, they get the prize at the end of the day. However, if I want to make sure they're going to get that prize, so it's only if they keep it, then I'll fulfill my promise. But if I want to guard that promise, or I want to make sure they're going to do it, so anytime they are about to start having a tantrum, I'll say, remember that promise, and I'll try to make it easy for them, and I'll guard the entire time, I'll watch to make sure that promise is fulfilled. So not only does Hashem keep His promise, but Hashem guards His promise. Hashem makes sure that we will get to ultimately where we have to be, so then Hashem can fulfill His promise. That's Baruch Shomer after Chosid of Israel. And throughout all of these exiles, He told Avraham Avinu ahead of time in the prophecy that I'm going to be there and I'm going to redeem you. And since He told us that, Vehi Sha'amdalah Hussein of Allah. What's Vehi? This is what stood for our forefathers and us. What's this? It's this promise. It's this promise that Hashem gave Avraham already and told Avraham, Yishna Avraham, you are the forefather of all the Jews. And I'm telling you now, and the prophecy is written in the Torah, He says, I'm telling you now, I will be there in Mitzrayim. I will be there in the story of Purim. I will be there in the story of Hanukkah. I will be there by the Romans. I will be there by the Greeks. I'll be there throughout. And after a long time, I'll be there at the end as well. And this is Vehi Sha'amdalah Hussein of Allah. The most basic explanation of Vehi. And this is what kept us going throughout the ages. This is what stood us by throughout the ages, that we had this promise. And we're able to sit in a Seder and say all the story again and say, yes, Hashem did take us out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem will take us out of this final Golas, and will bring us into Eretz Yisrael, and will bring Mashiach, because He promised Avraham Avinu 400 years before they went into Mitzrayim. And this is what stood us by. V'hi Sha'amdalah Hussein alone. This is what we have. Shalom Echol Abad. This is what we say in every Dar V'Dar, in every generation. Really, people stood up against us, and Hashem saved us. Okay, let's see what we can end with, just a couple of things, and then we'll close. Truth be told, from here on in, it gets a little bit, shall we say, boring, because it's just a lot of verses, a lot of psukim, and sometimes they're not the full pasuk, and certainly there are no commentators on the bottom just to explain what each thing means. So here a little bit flies, and this is also, looking at the watch. Oh, Chatzos is coming soon. We have to hurry up. Can you hurry up and move ahead with this? This is at this point in time. That's where we get to it. Because it is. It's really just a lot of psukim saying over in a shorthand way of what took place in Mitzrayim. It's really three sections. There's the going down to Mitzrayim. Okay, now we start with the first pasuk of Arami Obed Obi by Yehud Mitzrayim. We went down to Mitzrayim. That's really the first segment. And then once we're in Mitzrayim, we describe how terrible it was by Yerayos and Amitzrayim. And the Mitzrayim made us look terrible by Anunu, and they afflicted us, and they put hard work on us. That's the next segment. And then the next pasuk of Anitzek, we finally cried out to Hashem, and Hashem was waiting for us to cry out to Him. And when we finally did that, and we saw our oppression, He saw our hard work, then finally, Vayotzeinu Hashem, the next pasuk, and Hashem took us out. And then Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, from there starts really, it's not so clear from the order of the Haggadah, from there starts really the 10 plagues. From Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, that really starts the 10 plagues. But we're not going to go into that now, just to point that out. Vayotzeinu is the next segment, which starts the 10 plagues. But if you notice, where are these psukim coming from? And the structure is, we have a verse from the pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, okay, which is the pasuk we say at the time of bringing Bikurim and bringing your first fruits to Eretz Yisrael. So up to Yerushalayim, this is the pasuk that is said, Arami Ovid Ovi, and we use the psukim to relate over what happened in Mitzrayim for Parshas Kisavo, okay, which is a little bit strange. Parshas Kisavo, where are the psukim found about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Shavuot, Shavu'era, Bo, then Bishalach, they go out. So what are we jumping to Parshas Kisavo, which is just when you bring your first fruits, you remind yourself of what happened in Mitzrayim. That's the verse to use. What do you use that verse for? And so that's the verse we use to look at and say, oh, this is what happened in Mitzrayim. And then we just use supporting verses from other psukim, whether it be Shemos or Bereshis and other places, but mostly from Shemos, just as supportive psukim to understand that psukim. So one way of understanding it is as follows. A very beautiful understanding. Who is not mentioned in the entire Haggadah that really should be here?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. Okay? And we know there's a very famous Vilna Gaon's explanation of why he's not mentioned in the Haggadah. And that is because Hashem, when he took Tzad of Mitzrayim, we say he took Tzad not through a Malach, not through an angel, not through any types of angels, and not through a Shliach, not even through a proxy, it wasn't through any agents. Hashem didn't get anybody. Who's that Shliach? Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean? Wasn't he there? Wasn't he waving his stick? Wasn't he the one going back and forth to Paro? Yeah, but he was a puppet, so he's going back and forth. And to underscore that point, just to know very clearly that it was Hashem b'chodu ba'atzmo, he himself that took Tzad of Mitzrayim, and he himself that made all the miracles, and he made all the plagues, not to make that mistake, the Vilna Gaon says, therefore we omit Moshe Rabbeinu entirely from the Haggadah. No mention of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah. Where else is Moshe Rabbeinu not mentioned? In Parashas Kisavo. Those psukim from Parashas Kisavo, okay, that we quote here, Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned at all. And that's the same idea is suggested that we mentioned the psukim not from Shemos, where Moshe Rabbeinu certainly was the main actor over there. Certainly he was a big player in the Yetzias Mitzrayim and in the plagues. But here we mention something from Parashas Kisavo, which doesn't mention again Moshe Rabbeinu's name, and we use those psukim to remind us of what took place in Mitzrayim. Explain why where Lovin comes in over here. It's part of one idea, it's very simple. After the Hishamda Lavasena Velano, because we call Dabra Dari, every generation, they have stood up against us to try to kill us out, to try to destroy us, and yet Hashem has saved us. And the first proof of that really is Lovin. Again, who was the prophecy told to Hashem will save us in every generation? Not in Mitzrayim. It was told to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu's grandson, Yaakov, there was an attempt to kill him, there was an attempt to wipe us out at that stage by Lavan, and Hashem saved us over there. So we bring Lavan as a proof. You see Lavan, B.K.S. Lakras, we've seen Lavan try to uproot us already, and Hashem saved us from over there. And then came Paro, he tried to kill us out, and Hashem saved us from there. And that's what happened every generation. So we're going to skip ahead from after all these psukim. And after the 10 Makos, there's a lot to say on the 10 Makos. We're going to, at least for this year, we'll hold it. We won't talk about the 10 Makos. Let's go to Rav Gamliel HaYa Omer, because this is essential to say. We have to say all these three mitzvahs that we have, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And not only have to say them, we have to say the meaning behind the Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. These are not the meaning of the mitzvah, even though the Torah seems to tell us why we have the Korban Pesach and why we eat matzah, why we eat maror. But these are like we say about any reasons. These are just some of the reasons, and there could be a multitude of reasons to why we do every mitzvah. Some of them we know, some we don't know, and some are let known, and others are still hidden from us. So here we have Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. But instead of here, the Haggadah felt it necessary to tell us the reasons. And not only that, Rabbi Gamliel says, every person must say these three things. Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So what is Pesach? Pesach, we say, Shara, Beseinu, Ogul, Mizmash, Beis Mishra, Yekayim, Al Shumma. They used to eat this when the Beis Mishra was up. Then they used to eat the Korban Pesach. Why? Al Shum, Shepasach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Bote, Al Beseinu, Mizrayim. What did Hashem do? Passover. Okay, not the Korban Pesach, the sheep, that's not what the Pesach refers to, but rather refers to Hashem jumping over the houses. And we put the blood in Mitzrayim, put the blood on the doors, and then Hashem knew that it was for us to show that we regard Hashem as Him going to be, at midnight, going to go over all the houses, and therefore we put out the blood on the door. Hashem didn't need to know that the blood on the door to know who's inside the house, obviously, but it's for us to show that we know Hashem is coming. And Hashem will go and pass over all the houses, and hence the name Passover to this cup. Okay? So Hashem passed over the houses. What Hashem was showing us over there, what He was displaying, and why we have to say this also in 2004, that Hashem is Pasach always over us. And when, as Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests, when we drive in a car, we come home safely from a long trip, and nothing happened, Baruch Hashem, and you look at the statistics of accidents that could happen in the road, Hashem was watching over us. Hashem was pusing over our car and decided an accident happened somewhere else. And we get doing some rubbernecking, shame, and the other side is an accident, you say, Hashem is watching over my car and He's not getting into an accident. And when the business fails or the business is successful, then I know Hashem is passing over me, or He's interested in me and not interested, but it's Hashem taking care of my life. That's the idea of Pesach. Pesach was that Hashem went over every single Jewish house. Every Jewish home was looked at, and Hashem says, okay, this house I will go over and I'll save this house. And when we're saved from any type of tragedy that we're in, that's what the Pesach teaches us. And that's why we eat the Pesach. Matzah, what does the Matzah teach us? When they went out of Mitzrayim, they didn't even have time to rise. The dough didn't even have time to rise. All they had was matzah instead of bread or challah. Before Hashem already revealed Himself to them. And this is to also to show us that the geula, the final redemption, will happen very quickly. And the Sforno tells us that when Yosef was in prison, it says when he took him out of prison, they rushed him out. Why did they rush him out? What's the problem? They're rushing him out. He says, because all redemptions happen very quickly. All redemption happens to happen. It's trying very quickly. Is that things are going to take place very quickly and we have to be ready. Hashem's not going to call us ahead of time. Maybe we'll have one shofar blast to give us a reminder for when Eliyahu HaNavi will come and inform us Mashiach's coming, but after that it's going to be very quickly. That's the matzah. Finally, the Mara teaches us. The Mara says, "Shem Shemura Mitzrayim Eschayev Eseinu Mitzrayim." And here, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal suggests that, like we said before, things were not always terrible in Mitzrayim. At first, Mitzrayim was a very good land, and it certainly could be compared to America, because in its time, it was on top of the world. It was the strong country of the world. And things were good for the Jews. Certainly before all the Shabbat, before the tribes died, things were very good. It was only after that where they lost that sense of sort of Jewish identity. When we lost that sense that we are really here in Golos. We're here as just a stopover, and this is not where we're supposed to end up. And really when Yaakov Avinu came down to the tribe, that's all that he intended to do. That's only to be a stopover. And when they lost sight of that, that's when it started getting bitter. And to remind us that in every generation, things can get bitter when we don't realize that we are in Golos. Okay, B'chol Darba Dar is also a lot to speak about, but we'll hold it for now, and we'll just end with Shafok HaMoschel HaGrayim. If the benching, we now pour another cup. We have another cup of wine. And we know the four cups of wine are for the four Lashonas of Geula that says in Parshas Va'era. That's one idea. The Medrash actually tells us not such a well-known reason for the four cups. But in the dream of the Sarah Mashkin, when he had the dream about Paro, when he was in prison with Yosef, and he had a dream, and he says, I'll tell the coast, and I brought the coast, and it says over there the word coast four times. And those four coasts also, the Gemara tells us that there are three kosos, okay, and metaphorically speaking, there are three cups which Hashem will pour on the enemy. Two of them He already poured on Mitzrayim, and there's still one more to come. And the fourth is to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the fourth cup. And that's why really the Chafetz Chaim tells us in the Mishnah Berurah that Shafok HaMoschel HaGrayim, what is this doing over here? This is, we ask Hashem, on this night particularly, we ask Hashem, pour your wrath out on the non-Jewish nations that continue to oppress us. Just like he did in Mitzrayim, so too he will do to all those nations that oppressed us. And we haven't yet seen the retribution that Hashem will do to the Germans. But that will come one day as well. Because Hashem says, in every galus, dan anochi, I will judge that nation. And we've seen it maybe a little bit, but certainly not to the full extent like they had in Mitzrayim, the 10 plagues. But yet we will see that one day. And we'll see the punishment that Hashem will, the well-deserving punishment that Hashem will give the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, as well. But we say, Shabbat Hamas Chalagayim, for all those nations that oppressed us throughout the nations, throughout the ages, all those nations, we ask Hashem, pour your wrath on them, Hashem. And at this point, we have the minute of pouring not only a fourth cup, but yet a fifth cup. Who's the fifth cup for? Eliyahu HaNavi. Where does Eliyahu HaNavi come in over here? It's not a bris milah. He wasn't invited to the bris. Why is he coming in? So it's just a custom. It's a custom to pour it. The Chafetz Chaim tells us the custom here is at this point to show that we, certainly at this point, we've gone through so much of the Haggadah, so much of the Seder, we decide to pour a cup of wine to show Hashem we really do believe in you. We really do believe that the redemption soon will come, and we are pouring a fifth one just to be ready, to show that we're ready, because Eliyahu Navi will come to bring us the good news, the Besura Tova, which Eliyahu Navi is going to be destined to bring. He's that Navi, he's that prophet who's going to bring us the news that Mashiach is right, his footsteps are right here, he's right behind me, Eliyahu Navi will say. So we make sure to pour a fifth cup. At this point, when we ask Hashem to pour out his wrath, we pour a fifth cup to show, yes, we are ready for Mashiach to come. We are ready for that good news, for Mashiach's announcement through Eliyahu Navi to come. So we pour a fifth cup and show Hashem, we're ready for Eliyahu Navi, you can bring him. May he come very soon, and we'll be zochet to eat min ha'zvachim u'min ha'psachim.